Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Star Family Wisdom Podcast. I'm Jenna Layden, your host. I'm also the founder of Star Family Wisdom and a former global vice president for Whole Foods Market. I've been meeting some of you in the comments over the last week. Hi, everyone. Welcome to those who are new. We gained a bunch of new subscribers over the last week after the Paul Wallace episode aired. If you're listening to this or watching and you haven't seen that episode yet, go check it out. It was an awesome interview, and we talk all about his new book and his findings. And today's episode is going to help you understand a little bit more about the journey I've been on and some recent experiences I've had. For those of you who are new, let me give you the cliff notes of what's been happening over the last couple of years. So I left Whole Foods Market at the beginning of 2021 for the purpose of going deep on this, you know, spiritual journey, the spiritual path, engaging in advanced practices, advanced shamanic energy medicine work, and ultimately that led me to work that I'm doing this year, engaging Yeshua's ancient holy practices. That's Jesus Christ and his actual spiritual practices that he used in his lifetime to gain supernatural abilities. So if you want to learn more about that, we have the Supernatural Souls podcast. Go check that out. That's where I'm talking more about this journey of engaging these ancient spiritual practices, these mantra and yantra systems. I'm interviewing people who have been studying in this lineage for quite a while, and we'll explore more of that together there. You can also hear a little bit about that journey in some previous podcast episodes here, where I was preparing to go to India this year, and I've been there twice. I'm preparing to go back. It's been quite the journey, but this all started because I had some extraordinary supernatural experiences happen in the last years of my time at Whole Foods Market. I had been atheist for the first half of my life, the first part of my life, and I started to have these experiences that made me question everything about my reality. And I was really only atheist because I had been introduced to, exposed to the Christian church, some aspects of other organized religions, but I didn't really connect, you know, with what I was like hearing and learning. There seemed to be so much like hypocrisy, you know, in terms of like what I was hearing about the teachings of Jesus Christ versus what I was seeing in people's behaviors and that sort of thing. So, you know, there was just an aspect of that that I questioned and just didn't connect to, you know, very much in the first part of my life. I was also so busy at Whole Foods Market as a leader. For so many years, I moved up in the company at a really young age, and that was without a college degree also. So I became a global vice president by the age of 30 and navigated some, you know, really large scale change and transformation within the company, supported, you know, so many team members in becoming leaders and just navigated so much evolution and growth during that time that I didn't have time, you know, for spirituality. I didn't have time to look into, you know, our reality and how it works and explore that side of life. You know, I was just busy. I was just focused on what I was doing at Whole Foods Market and attempting to be of service in whatever way I could with the teams there. It was always my goal as a leader to just help, you know, and anytime I saw situations that were not harmonious, anytime I saw dysfunction, anytime I was hearing feedback, you know, from team members about things they wanted to see change or improved, you know, my goal was to just help with that. And I always felt like I could, which is why I, you know, kept moving up the ladder and went for more, you know, positions and ultimately got to that level at a young age. However, I recognize now that a lot of that journey was enhanced by some heightened perceptual abilities, you know, some clairvoyance. I had an ability to read the energy of a room. I had the ability to read the energy of what was going on with someone. I had the ability to, in some ways, perceive the future, perceive the like correct course of action. But this was all so subtle. It was so subtle that I just, you know, wasn't that tuned into it for a long time. But then something big happened around the age of 30. And I started having more extraordinary supernatural experiences. I will not get into all of those here. That's not the purpose of today's episode. You can learn more about that in some of the past episodes. But these experiences, which included past life recall, actually seeing the future and then it playing out, telepathic experiences with others, and then what became the catalyst for me leaving Whole Foods, which was connecting with ET beings who told me to leave and do this and do what I'm doing now. And I, at the time, was like, are you sure? Like, is this real? Like, what is happening here? But it was through a series of extraordinary experiences that are undeniable, and by going deep in my research on consciousness, the way in which our perceptual abilities can be activated, and by ultimately, you know, going through some of the highest levels of spiritual training that one can go through to validate the experiences I had had and to uncover more information about my soul. And, you know, why is my soul connected to these ETs? Why do they have the ability to communicate with me in the way they do? Why am I, you know, experiencing this level of knowing and integration of wisdom that I've been sharing through Star Family Wisdom? Like, why is all of that happening? So ultimately I left Whole Foods, and I, you know, always as a leader wanted to be that person that, you know, walks the talk, like shows up and does the work. You know, I was never a leader that would sit in an office and like dictate, you know, to the team what needed to happen. Like, I was in there with the team, like doing the work with them. And so this was like part of that. This was me like stepping into different work, but being willing to go through all aspects of like karmic clearing, energy shifting, transformation on a personal, human, spiritual level, so that I could experience it myself and walk my talk, you know, and be able to talk about certain things with confidence because I've experienced it and because I've had that validated in multiple ways. So that's what you missed. If you're just now tuning in, welcome. And, you know, part of what we do at Star Family Wisdom is deliver tools, practices, help you get connected to wisdom that, in my opinion, came from the stars. And while has not been totally lost or forgotten on Earth, was suppressed and to some degree forgotten for a long time. And we're now able to reconnect those dots. And as humans now, as we go through this massive transformation that's happening on the planet, as we transition eras, as we come out of our dark ages, we can re-engage with this wisdom and these practices in a way that help us heal, help us clear all of the negative distortion that we've carried as humans, and help us, you know, come back into that level of harmony and divine alignment that is possible. So this is the journey I've been on, this journey of coming back into that alignment. Like, what does that truly look like? And what's possible? You know, like, what level of supernatural abilities and energy? You know, can a human hold, channel, experience? So today we're going to talk about mediumship within the context of a recent experience that happened. And this is related to a monkey. And we're going to talk a little bit about Hanuman, the monkey god, and how this divine being archetype is connected to this experience. We're going to talk about animal communication. We're going to talk about what is possible in terms of human and animal bonds. And I'm going to also share something that came up in a conversation with my mother recently, because she was atheist, still kind of considers herself atheist, but has evolved in really beautiful ways with me as I've been on this journey. It's been hard, it's not always been easy, but she's been open, she's been, you know, willing to evolve after some hard conversations, of course. But it's been this incredible experience to witness her evolution and the opening of her psychic abilities, which started to happen over this last year. So, monkey mediumship, what's that all about? So, I went through some of the highest level shamanic training one can go through. This is Peruvian based shamanism from the Incan civilization. It's my opinion that what is contained within this body of knowledge is some of the most well preserved in terms of an intact kind of system and a holistic, like, spiritual technology that we can engage for the purpose of healing and transforming, but also for the purpose of understanding how to engage archetypal energies, for the purpose of becoming a person of power. And as we gain power, as our soul gains power, we can gain the ability to help spirits, to help other souls. We can gain the ability to command on energy. Our personal power grows. So through the course of this training, I had the experience of interacting with a number of souls, spirits who were stuck, who had not transitioned back to the realm of spirit. You know, when we die, our goal is to exit this plane, go back to the realm of spirit, where we will have a life review. We will go through a healing process if that's required. We will then continue on our journey and come back into the physical in a different body somewhere, whether that's here on Earth or another civilization, and we'll continue to have experiences. And that will go on and on and on until we have transcended all aspects of the physical experiences that we can have, and until we have merged once again with that God level of consciousness, with the unity consciousness. So there's this, you know, flow to life, to existence that occurs. And ideally, when we leave the body, we continue on with that flow. But sometimes that doesn't happen because, you know, when we have negative attachments, when we have unresolved issues, when we have, you know, a major trauma that a soul might have experienced, and sometimes especially around the death process, and if a soul is not fully prepared for what they're about to experience, you know, and what's going to happen in the death process, that can block the ability for that soul to make that transition effectively. So we're clearly, you know, experiencing a lot of distortion here on Earth, and part of that distortion has been related to our understanding of that cycle of life. And that has resulted in a lot of souls not transitioning cleanly, you know, in the way we want them to. And that has resulted in a lot of souls getting stuck and staying behind for a period of time. Now, when that happens, that's not ideal because most of the time there's something negative, right, attached to that scenario that has resulted in that soul staying behind, which means that whatever negative attachments that soul has to people and situations here on earth, their energy is going to affect us. And that just creates distortion in our energy field. It creates distortion in the way we move through life and in, you know, our ability to become, you know, fully empowered. It's going to block some of that. So I had the experience, you know, through this shamanic training of starting to engage in that work. And it became pretty clear pretty quickly that that's one of my specialties, like as a healer, as a shaman, as a person who can, you know, walk with one foot in both worlds. That's one of the things I'm here to do, is to help with that and to help spirits, souls who've been stuck, get unstuck and move on and go back, and to help open that portal so that they can, you know, make that transition effectively. So I had started to have these experiences, and I had started to engage in a lot of really, you know, deep ancestral healing. You know, so much of, you know, what we do with the Incan medicine wheel technology is really understanding that full cycle of life and learning how to move with that full cycle of life, learning how to, you know, face our fear of death, learning about, you know, the ancestral patterns, right, that are still playing out in the physical now, learning about how to reach into the past to alter the course of events in the future, to heal something from the past that then has an effect on the present moment, to, you know, maybe look into the future to gain an understanding of possibilities, like future timelines that we can connect to. You know, there are a number of skills you gain when you go through this sort of training. And so I'm engaging in all of that, and I'm engaging in this ancestral healing process in a really deep way, really learning, you know, about what have my ancestors experienced that might still be affecting me that I need to clear. And in that process, identifying and having some come to me, ancestors who had not transitioned. I had a number of ancestors who were still here, and they were affecting various family members. And I had some just really profound, extraordinary experiences that were validated after the fact by talking to, you know, some of my family members and gaining a better understanding of what maybe some of these souls or spirits had experienced in their lifetime. So I'm going to get to the monkey in just a moment, but this is just this is important context. So I've gained this ability, you know, to support negative souls, and I can tell you, you know, some of these negative entities, spirits, souls, depending on the level of trauma they've experienced, you know, you do need someone highly trained to be able to handle them, because their energy is so intense and so distorted and so negative that, you know, not just anyone can like get that spirit to clear out of here. You know, like it's going to take someone with a certain level of power and a certain level of command to be able to hold their own next to that spirit, and then be able to, you know, get them to go. So I've had some experiences. One that was just awful. It was a great uncle from like the 1800s. He had died by suicide, and he had had a pretty hard life, like just a rough and tumble, you know, old Western dude. You know, was engaged in some yucky stuff, like classic old Western stuff, like bank robberies, like you know, stabbing people, all sorts of crazy stuff. This guy like ended up killing himself. And so, you know, he went, you know, so he had just kind of a yucky life. Like it was not a good life. And oh my God, you know, when he showed up for healing and help, wow, I have never experienced such an intense, negative, yucky energy. And it took all I could to just like hold my own, you know, against that and work with him when that happened. So anyway, I've had all those experiences and, you know, I'm now at a point where I'm used to it. I can see them now. When this first started, I couldn't really see them. I could feel them. And it would take me a little bit to like tune into what was going on and to recognize, oh, okay, yes, we have another energy present. I know what to do now, you know. But over time, as my psychic abilities have developed, I can see these spirits when they show up. It's not, you know, like a full form. It's, you know, it's wispy, ghostly, I guess, you know, it's like a ghost and, you know, you can kind of see through them, but it's very clear that there's like an energy present. I can see the outline of a form and it's almost like there's like this like interference with the pixelation of physical reality is kind of the way I would describe it. It's like there's an overlay, like there's something that's like trying to be in physical reality that's not supposed to be in physical reality. It's hard to explain, but that's the sensation I get. And so now, you know, I can see them and that helps, you know, because now I'm like, oh, someone's here. Who are you? What do you need? You know, what can I help with? So the other day, it's at night, I'm in the living room, and I start to see something. And I'm like, okay, this is not a full kind of human form that I'm seeing. You know, when I've had what were human, you know, spirits and souls come to me, you know, they're like the size of a human. Like I can see them walking like through the door of my bedroom at night, you know, like it's pretty obvious, but this was like low to the ground. And at first I was like, is this a cat? Like what's going on here? Do I have a cat spirit present? I have two cats in my house. So I thought maybe there's a cat that's showing up. I don't know. A couple of days prior to this, my friend had connected me with an artist in New York, had given me his contact information. And what some of you don't know also about me is that I'm part-time an art collection curator. My grandmother was a fairly prolific artist. This is her painting behind me, one of her paintings. Let me show you. There you can see the full thing. So she was a fairly prolific painter in her lifetime. And she left me her collection when she died. And that's part of my dharma in this life is carrying on her legacy, helping to get her work back out in the public. I've gotten her work into 5 museums since she passed, which has been really special. So I've been working with her a lot too from the other side. And so I'm slowly, you know, working on like, how do I make connections out in the art world? And my friend gets me connected to this rather prolific, somewhat famous artist in New York. And his name is Alan Hirsch. I'm looking at his information before I'm about to email him because he knows I'm supposed to email him. And I see that there was a documentary done about him. But it was a documentary called Long Live Benjamin. And this documentary was about a monkey. Alan found Benjamin when Benjamin was a baby, and Alan rescued Benjamin. Alan lives in New York City, and the wild part of this documentary, which, you know, it evokes a lot of emotions. If you watch this, it's a powerful documentary, and it evokes a ton of different emotions because life is messy, you know, like it's not clean cut, and we all have to make difficult decisions. And And, you know, people are going to judge those decisions sometimes. So Alan brings Benjamin back to New York City as a baby monkey, like smuggles him back. And all this is in the documentary. Like, this is all public. I'm not talking about anything that's not public. And I am sharing this because I think, you know, it's a beautiful experience. It's a beautiful example of divine love, which we'll talk about in a moment. It's a beautiful example of the healing process. And this is my perception. This is my experience. And I'm also going to talk about how it ties into my mom and her experiences too. So I'm watching this documentary and I'm learning more about Alan and his life with Benjamin. And it's, you know, pretty clear, like right off the bat, like these two have just this extraordinary bond. And again, you know, there's a part of you that's like, you know, what's this human doing with this monkey in New York? Like, why would you ever do that sort of thing? And, you know, there's lots of challenges involved, obviously, like it's a drama that plays out. But what is clear as an underlying theme is that there is an extraordinary bond between these two. And all of a sudden, I start feeling this tidal wave of energy, this tidal wave of love and grief. And it's so intense that I'm like, is this my energy? Is this my emotions? Like, what's going on here? I pause, you know, I have the awareness to pause and tune in and ask, like, am I picking up on someone else's energy here? Or is this me that's, you know, the clearing is happening with? And as this progresses, it becomes clear that Benjamin has come to me, that I'm all of a sudden in communication with Benjamin. And what also became clear in this experience is that, you know, these two shared such a deep bond. And just because of the complications and challenges involved in the end of Benjamin's life, you know, there just wasn't like the most easy, you know, resolution to that bond. And you know, when we experience loss, when we experience, you know, our you know, deepest, you know, bonds having, you know, to change in the physical for some reason, that can be really hard, you know, and it's hard to let go. It's hard to allow that transition to take place. You know, we can attach, and all of a sudden I'm like feeling, you know, Benjamin come through like loud and clear. And I'm like, okay, like, do you have something to tell your dad? Because I'm about to email him, you know, like, do you have something to share? Like, do you need help? Like, what's going on? You know? And so I engaged in this healing process with the monkey. And, you know, what was also clear to me after watching this documentary is that, you know, obviously, many animals on our planet are highly intelligent. You know, we have more similarities with a lot of animals, you know, than we maybe want to acknowledge. And even though a lot of animals and their consciousness are highly intelligent, you know, highly engaging, most of the animal kingdom does operate at a different level of consciousness than humans. Dolphins, whales operate at the same level of consciousness. I think there are others too, like octopus. I think there's a number of animals on the planet that are operating more or less at our level of consciousness. And you know, I think like monkeys are kind of in between almost. And what's also, you know, apparent to me is that the animal kingdom, they don't have trouble transitioning back to spirit because they're already so intimately connected with the world of nature and the world of spirit that that's just not a problem. You know, like that just isn't a thing. You know, they don't have the mind and the, you know, capacity for all of these, you know, negative attachments that humans do, which is what prevents us from making that clean transition because we've lost that connection with nature to some degree. So I'm, you know, watching this documentary and it's clear that, you know, Benjamin, just by like having lived with Alan and the like level of bond they shared and the life they had, you know, Benjamin's operating at a higher level of consciousness than some monkeys would be. You know, like he's more tuned into kind of the human consciousness at this point. So it makes sense that there is a part of him, you know, that was highly attached and maybe wouldn't have fully transitioned in the way, you know, we want. So all of a sudden, you know, I'm like experiencing this process of supporting this monkey in healing the part of him that hasn't, you know, fully detached and transitioned. I'm like experiencing, you know, the grief that the two of them felt. And I'm like getting this message that I'm supposed to share with Alan. And as soon as, you know, this had happened and I'm clear on this, I go outside and it had been storming. The skies opened and this gigantic double rainbow appeared and it was a full arc across the sky. I then, you know, after that moment of, okay, we've had some healing happen here. Like Benjamin is sending his love, you know, like Benjamin's letting go. Like there's healing that's occurring and he, you know, he has this message to pass along. And I open Alan's Instagram and the last three photos he posted were of this installation of Benjamin in New York City. And behind Benjamin is a rainbow. So, what, you know, started as this experience of learning how to communicate with the other side and learning how to support human souls and spirits in crossing over and healing and releasing attachments, that sort of thing. What started as that has now evolved into this sort of experience and animal communication. And this is also interesting because earlier this year, I had another monkey incident that I'm going to tell you like very quickly about. This was at the ashram in India. And this was related to Hanuman, the monkey god in Hinduism. So this is Hanuman. If you're on YouTube, you can see it. If you're not, I'm holding up a picture of Hanuman here. Hanuman gives us courage and strength, and he is a wise, you know, unconditionally loving being. And when I was at the ashram, I connected with this statue of Hanuman. I started, you know, thinking about him and wanting to learn more about his archetype and all of that. And there's a bunch of monkeys at the ashram too in India, which is super cool. So, you know, I'm interacting with these monkeys at the ashram and connecting with Hanuman and then on my next trip to the ashram, I have some roommates and I come back to the room one day and there was a balcony on the back side of the room. When I first got to the room, I opened this balcony and there's like 20 monkeys out there. And I'm like, oh, hello, you know, close the door real quick. And so one day I'm coming back into the room and my roommate has the balcony door open and she says, Jenna, come look. One of the monkeys has someone's phone. Come look. And I come running out, you know, to the balcony to take a look. And all of a sudden she goes, wait, that's my phone. And, you know, the door had been open and the monkeys snuck into the room and started like stealing stuff. And so all of a sudden she's like, oh my God, you know, what are we gonna do? The monkey's like running down the balconies with the phone. And she's like, Jenna, can you help? Like, you have the Hanuman connection. We'd already talked about Hanuman for some reason. And so I'm like, okay, Anka, go down to the security guys. You know, you tell them what's going on, help get them on it. I'll try to distract the monkey. And so I go out on the balcony and I just like turn into like a mother. I'm like, you put that phone down right now. You know, that's not yours. And I just like start commanding this monkey to like obey me. And like a kid, you know, the monkey looks at me like, yeah, right. And like runs down the balcony with the phone. And I'm like, okay, well, our only chance of getting this phone back is if someone scales the balconies and like goes after it. So I just like go after the monkey. I start scaling, you know, the balconies. I'm not like climbing. I'm just like hopping over the balconies, you know, to get to the monkey. And the whole time, you know, I'm like commanding on the monkey, like, you put that phone down. Like, that is not yours. You be respectful. And I'm calling on Hanuman for help. I'm like, Hanuman, we need your help, you know. Get these monkeys under control. And I get to the end of the balcony, the monkey puts the phone down and jumps up into a tree. So it's been a really interesting year of these monkey connections. And I just have to thank Hanuman for the ability to connect with the monkey spirits and for this experience recently of connecting with Benjamin, which was, you know, really beautiful. It was, again, if you happen to watch this documentary, if you're curious, you know, it's hard to watch, you know, at times, because it's just this powerful, dramatic, challenging story of what it would be like to raise a monkey. And again, like the love, the divine love, you know, between the two of them, between this man and this monkey, is really beautiful to witness. And he even talks about, you know, that line, you know, between humans and animals, and you know, seeing himself in the monkey and seeing the monkey in him. And so I think, you know, there was just a lot to be, you know, gained, you know, by this documentary being produced, by people watching it and learning about his story. And I can, you know, share just as a testament, you know, what I felt by experiencing this, you know, communication with the monkey and being able to pass that along to him, to Alan. And after this experience, I'm talking with my mom, and this is also related to divine love and the power of divine love. I'm, you know, telling her like, boy, do I have an interesting story for you this week. You know, like, I've got this story about a monkey and this artist in New York. And I'm like a little hesitant, like, should I even share this with her? You know, I've shared a lot with her. And I'm sure there's been a lot. I know there's been a lot. She's questioned, you know, she's felt uncomfortable with. It's taken her a while to like come on board, you know, with what's been going on with me. And so I'm just like, you know what, at this point, I'm an open book. I just am not hiding anything. Like, I'm gonna be discerning, you know, about what I share, you know, with certain people and that sort of thing. But like, this is my life, you know, like, if I don't share about my life with her, I'm not sharing anything. So I tell her about the monkey and the, you know, this experience of receiving communication. And she reminds me of this experience that happened last year. This was when I was doing really deep ancestral work. I had done this huge ancestral ceremony for the divine feminine beings in my family and called them all in for healing, naively at the time, not realizing I would have some negative spirits to deal with as a result of that. And that night, after one of these ceremonies, I did not know about this until like a couple days later, but that night, after one of those ceremonies, my mom started hearing whispers in the middle of the night. Like, she woke up to whispers, and she says, like, this was so distinct and kind of creepy. Like, she was like, you know, like, what's going on here? But she had this instinctual reaction, which I find really interesting. This is like intuition just coming out of her, right? She's in the sleepy state. She's not overanalyzing it. She's hearing whispers, right? Like some ghostly kind of entity, you know, is like showing up, you know, communicating with her. She very quickly says, oh, you've got the wrong one. She's in Sedona. Go to Sedona. And so she commands the spirit to go to Sedona. Well, again, I don't know about this yet. It worked, because that next morning, I had a grandmother, a great great grandmother, show up. It was very clear there was an energy present. It was not mine. This was around the time I had started to be able to see some of these spirits. So it was like very faint, but I was kind of like, okay, someone's here. And I'm like feeling, you know, what she's feeling. Like, I'm feeling what she had been carrying. And I'm like, oh my God, like the level of grief and pain, you know, this person had been carrying. Wow. And so after the fact, I tell, you know, I kind of hesitate, but I tell my mom about it. Like, you know, you'll never guess what happened, but I think maybe Grandma Bardis showed up. And she goes on to tell me more about this grandma's life and the level of tragedy she experienced. And so it's no wonder that I was experiencing her emotions and feelings. Like, I was literally experiencing what she was carrying, you know, that had not released and not cleared and healed. And then my mom is like, well, I wasn't going to mention anything, but the other night I started hearing all these whispers, and I was like, oh my God, like that was her. Like, that was what was happening. Like, my mom was starting to get a glimpse of the other side. And then just this week, as I'm telling her about the monkey incident, she's like, okay, well, I wasn't going to tell you about this, but I feel like I should tell you. So when was this? Week before last, I went to go see Beyonce. It was a thing. My friend and I were like, okay, Beyonce's in Arizona. We have to go pay our respects to the queen. We need some divine feminine empowerment in our life. Like, we're going to go like live it up, you know, get fancy, do the whole thing. And we did, and it was awesome. And maybe I'll talk about that in another episode. There's actually like a ton of spiritual and cosmic and ET related clues in Beyonce's songs. So I might do an episode on that at some point. But my mom knows I'm going to Beyonce that night. And you know how moms are, right? Like, they like to worry sometimes. And as a side note, worrying doesn't help. Worrying just generates more negative energy. We want to be focused on love and protection and that sort of, you know, energy. So I've coached her on that. Like, don't worry about me, just send love, you know? And so, you know, she's like, you guys should get a hotel room down in Phoenix. It's going to be too late to drive. And I'm like, Mom, it'll be fine. Like, we'll get a hotel room, you know? Well, my friend had to work the next day. So we're going to make it a night. We're just going to drive back late. I don't tell my mom this. She doesn't need to know everything, you know? And so I'm, you know, I'm telling her about this monkey incident and like more of this like mediumship channeling, you know, that's occurring. And she's like, okay, well, I have a story for you. So on the night you went to Beyonce, she says, she woke up at like midnight. And like in this like half, you know, half asleep, half awake state. And she starts hearing whispers again. And she does what she did last time, which is, no, go to Sedona. Like she's just sending them to me. Go to Sedona, go to Jenna. But then she said, bless her heart, this is so sweet. She had this moment of horrible panic because then she thought, oh no, what if something had happened to Jenna? And what if that's Jenna trying to get my attention? And what if I just told her spirit to go away? And she was just like horrified and like, you know, got out of bed and, you know, bless her heart. That was so sweet. So all of a sudden she's worried and I've shared GPS tracking with her on my phone. You know, we have a small family. It's like just the two of us for the most part. And so, you know, we're pretty open with each other. And, you know, that's been, you know, something like when I've been traveling or that sort of thing, it's nice, you know, for someone to know where you're at. So, you know, I don't care about that sort of thing. So she has GPS tracking on my phone. And so, so she looks at my GPS to see where I'm at. And by the way, like when I allowed this to happen, it was with boundaries. Like it was with the caveat of like, you're not like following my every move, you know, like you cannot like just interfere and like, you know, text me or call me and be like, why are you such and such a place? Like, no, hard no. Like that's when you're gonna get cut off. You know, like it was with those sorts of boundaries. So she's been, you know, great. Like she's good with boundaries. So she looks at the GPS on my phone and she's like, she says, oh man, like they're on the road. They're on the highway back to Sedona. Damn it. Now I can't go back to sleep because now I, you know, I have to like make sure she gets home. And all of a sudden I have this just wave of knowing, you know, because there wasn't really anything like spirit entity, you know, related around that week, that what I was doing that week that would have, you know, maybe interacted with her. So I'm like, why did she get woken up? You know, what was that about? And all of a sudden I have this wave of knowing that, you know, a mother's love is, and this is, you know, something I've learned in all the spiritual training, you know, I've done, a mother's love is like the most powerful energy. Like our universe is like a feminine universe. Like God is both mother and father, and the mother's energy is a little more powerful than the father's energy, and a mother's love and bond with her child is one of the most powerful energetic connections that exists. And when a mother can project her love out to her child, there's like a stronger force field that gets kind of put in place. So all of a sudden I'm like, oh my God, there probably was some sort of danger, you know, like up ahead or something, you know, that we were going to encounter. And my mom was being woken up to be on guard, to like watch and make sure we got back to Sedona. Like she, like spirit literally woke her up to project, you know, this loving protection onto us as we drove back to Sedona. Because there's nothing else I can think of that would have caused that would have been like the impetus, you know, for that sort of thing to happen. So, you know, all of a sudden, you know, this monkey connection, you know, has, you know, just cracked me open in terms of experiencing someone else's, you know, divine love and, you know, honoring that and, you know, sharing that with my mom and then experiencing her love, like that moment of concern and love and, you know, wanting to protect. And it just reminded me of just the power, you know, the power of divine love. And, you know, and these experiences have also reminded me of how, you know, we have to move the way love asks us to move. And that doesn't always look the way we think it's going to look. And it doesn't always look like what we thought, you know, our life would turn out to be, like this guy, Alan and Benjamin. You know, did he ever see that coming? You know, like it, sure, it caused problems in, you know, some parts of his life, but love is love, you know, like it just reminds you of that, that who are we to judge love? And sometimes, you know, love just moves us in ways that, you know, maybe wake us up in the middle of the night, but also, you know, help open us up to more of what's possible and more of the connection that life, nature is wanting us to experience. So I'm now adding monkey mediumship to my long list of career titles and positions among, you know, former VP, CEO, founder, shaman, art curator, monkey medium, you name it. Let's just keep the list going. So I'll link to the documentary below if you're curious and want to watch it. You know, it's a fascinating glimpse into the life of an artist and again, a fascinating glimpse into, you know what, like divine love can look like, you know, and in some of its forms and what that possible connection, you know, between animals and humans can look like, and, you know, where those lines get blurry. And, you know, I hope that, you know, your takeaway from this is to just, you know, tune into love and where love is present. And to remember, you know, that whole cycle of life exists. And as we honor that whole cycle of life and do our best to release attachments, honor, you know, what has been and what has existed, but let it go with grace. You know, we allow that cycle to continue in beautiful ways. We honor each other in that process. And, you know, I share, you know, these glimpses into, you know, what I'm experiencing and, you know, what I'm curious about and what I'm interested in and all of that, you know, for the purpose of helping to open your hearts. You know, that's the only reason we're doing this is to heal together and to transform and to just allow more love in. You know, I was talking to a friend recently and there was like a particular kind of, you know, interpersonal situation with another person that, you know, they were kind of like, you know, kind of dreading a little bit. And after this, you know, encounter took place and they, you know, spent time together, the takeaway from my friend was once I really saw this person and just truly like allowed myself to see them in their entirety and like all of who they are, I realized that judgment wasn't the answer. Like there was no reason to judge any aspect of them. And my friend said this, and so I chose to give more love, not less. And I think that is just like such a beautiful takeaway in any of these instances, you know, is like, you know, we can judge what's happening. We can question what's happening. You know, there's so many ways our monkey mind, pardon the pun, gets in the way. But, you know, how can we just honor what is? Help release the hard stuff, help, you know, release the negative attachments we've had and ultimately just allow more love to be given allow ourselves to see the love that is present rather than seeing the distortions that might also be present with it. So I guess that's how we're wrapping up today, is to just honor love and how it asks us to move and to, question that less. Like, I have questioned that a lot over the last few years, because love has asked me to move in some ways that were very unusual to my human being and very counter to what I thought my life was going to be about. But it's true, as I have judged less, as I have worked to see more of the full spectrum of reality, it becomes easier and easier to choose love in every instance. So I hope you do too. And if you are interested in learning more about India and the, practices that I've engaged in there, check out the links in the show notes below. If you're interested in shamanism and what I talked about related to the Incan medicine wheel and that technology, check out the Four Winds Society. That is run by Alberto Violdo. He's one of my teachers, and I've gone through their highest levels of training. And I think Alberto has done an incredible job of integrating, modern psychological practices as well with the deep, spiritual and energetic and psychic, training that you go through in that program, in all of his programs. So that is an excellent resource for someone who, may be having some of these experiences, but needs some help, like getting their arms around it, right? Like, or even developing psychic abilities or engaging these ancestral healing practices. If you're like, you just want to dip your toe in the water with some of that, check out the free shamanic practice course on Star Family Wisdom. We also have a shamanic healing guide. There's an ancestral healing guide, a lot of good resources to help you, move in that direction and get that process started. And, if you're also desiring some tools to help you move with love and get back into that state of divine love, check out the affirmations that we offer. Check out the Goddess Isis course, where you go through a 7-stage initiation process that is related to connecting with the divine feminine force of energy in our universe. And you'll go through various healing practices and rituals that help you with some of that clearing and releasing of attachments and negative energy while doing the empowerment work to boost those divine energies in your system. So we've got lots of resources at Star Family Wisdom and other resources that we're connected with that we can point you towards. So thank you for being here today and sharing space with me as I shared more about this fun and interesting incident that occurred. And I hope it gave you a little glimpse into my life as of late. And we'll talk more in our next episode, maybe about divine feminine power and Beyonce, maybe about something else. I don't know yet. We'll see what the universe wants us to talk about. So thank you for being here. Leave a comment. Let's keep getting to know each other, and we'll chat there, and I'll see you next time in the next episode. Bye for now.